Okay, Rabbi, today's daf is daf Chav Gimel. We're holding the final line on Chav Beis Amid Beis. As we recall, we finished off by saying that even though a person on a personal level should be a mavater, should be a mochel, should be an easygoing person and be mochel on his kavod, however, when it comes, for instance, to the melech, there he cannot be mochel because that doesn't belong to him. That's part of the malchus. And therefore the Gemara told us that Shaul HaMelech was punished, that he was moichel on his covered when he had a bunch of B'nai Belial, a bunch of gangsters came and they were mavaza him, they shamed and embarrassed him. He should have stood up for the covered, not of himself, but the covered of the Malucha. See, in the same vein, the Gemara says something similar. Last line, the Omer of Yoichanam Yishim Reb Shimon Yehoi Tzadek, Kol Tamed Chochem She'enoi Noikem V'Noiter K'nochosh. Ain't a Talmud Chacham. A Talmud Chacham has to have the koyach of being a noikem v'noiter. Noikem means a person who is vengeful and a person who bears a grudge. If he doesn't, he's not a Talmud Chacham. Now, on the surface, this is a very strange memra, as the Gemara is going to go into. If anything, we look upon a Talmud Chacham as being a yid, a tzaddik, a fine, a guta. He certainly should be mavater. The Gemara is saying if he's not noikem v'noiter, like a nochash, he's not a Talmud Chacham. Pray the more about Ksiv. We just laid in last week, Sedra. Leisikon v'leisitor. Leisikon means not to take vengeance, not to take revenge. Leisitor, not to bear a grudge. And you're telling me that a Talmud Chacham that doesn't take revenge and doesn't bear a grudge, he's not a Talmud Chacham. That's just the opposite of this lav in the Torah. Evdi marahu b'momen hu dechsiv. That pasuk leisikon v'leisitor means when it comes to financial matters, you're not allowed to take revenge. And you're not allowed to bear a grudge. Dechsiv, it says in the Pasuk. Sanyin. Hu dechsiv, I'm sorry. Hu dechsiv, that's what it talks about financial matters. How do I know? The Sanyin says in the Braisa. Ezi nekima ve'ezi netira. Rashi brings this in Chumash, this is quite well known. What's the difference between nekima, revenge, and netira, bearing a grudge? Netira, nekima, omoloi, hashileni, magolcha. Do you have two neighbors? One says to the other, I want you to please lend me your sickle. My sickle broke. Can you lend me your sickle for a day? No, I'm not giving it to you. The next day, the other one says, can you do me, please, a favor and lend me your hatchet, your axe? So he tells him, normally I would have given it to you. But since you didn't give it to me, I'm not going to give it to you. That's a standard case of revenge, right? You didn't go and give me your sickle, I'm not going to give you my hatchet. Zui Nakiva. This is what we call revenge. This is what the Torah says, don't do something like that. Vezin Natir, what means to bear a grudge? Amalei, so we start again. Hashilein Kadumcha, go and lend me your hatchet. Amalei, loy. No, I'm not going to. The next day, Amalei, Hashilein Chalukcha, I want to borrow from you your an article of clothing, your overcoat or whatever. You can go and take it. You know why? Because I'm not like you. You weren't willing to go and lend me your kardoim, your axe, your hatchet. But I'm not you. I'm a better person than you. I rise above. And therefore, I'm going to give you my cholak. Zui Natira. This means to bear a grudge. Because even though he's not taking revenge, but just the fact that he mouths those words shows you that he's bearing a grudge. Aha. So says the Gemara, that's in financial matters. However, in other types of matters, then we say to the Talmud Chacham, you have a right to go and be Nokim and Noter. And in fact, if you're not Nokim and Noter, you're not a real Talmud Chacham. So Freit Gemara, Vitzara de Gufaloi. Fine. What happens if the person was embarrassed physically? We're not talking about financial matters. We're talking about the other person embarrassed him. Like we had in the case of Shaul HaMelech, we had these B'nai Belial that said poor things about Shaul HaMelech. You have somebody comes to a chassan, a minute in the chassan, he screams, he says, "That rabbi, he done nothing, he's a good for nothing, blah, 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 blah." So our Gemara is telling us, you have to be no came and no to kenachash. You should go and give the person back in spades and say, "I'm a nothing, you're a double nothing, you're a crook." Exactly. Started to go for loy. But Tanya, we have a famous brisa, and the love of the inim olven shimer chabos meinim meshivim oisim yahav esmeichem yisurin alena kosav oimer the yahavav kitzeis hashemish bigvurasei. And the love means a person who has been shamed in public. Veinim olven, but does not return the shame. In other words, he keeps quiet. Shem Rechapasim hears all of the scherpa, the shame, the embarrassment that is poured on him. Veinu Meshivin keeps quiet. Oyse Mehava, he does Mehava. Usmeichem Yisurim, he says, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. I'm willing to take these Yisurim upon me. A person like this is a saintly individual. Alein akosav oymer v'ayhav of kitzeis hashemesh v'gurasei.
I'm sorry.
V'ayhav of kitzeis hashemesh v'gurasei. What does v'ayhav of kitzeis hashemesh v'gurasei have to do with this? So the Mefarshim explain. Because where do we find the first time in history that there was some sort of kinna v'sina, some sort of jealousy or hatred, if you will, that caused one to be shamed? That was in the case of the Shemesh V'Yorech. Where do we find Shemesh V'Yorech? Because Yorech came, the moon came to Kadosh Baruch Hu and said, Ein shtei melachim mishtamshim b'keser echad. You've made the sun and the moon exactly the same size, and so therefore we are two kings. Two kings really cannot live. Somebody's got to be the major king and somebody the mini king. There's got to be a president and a vice president. You can't have two presidents. You can't have two leaders. One has to be the recognized leader, and the other person can be secondary. So that's what the moon said to the about the sun and about itself to Hashem. That the Shemesh then could have gotten up, raised his hand, and say, Kadosh Baruch Hu, no, I disagree. I'm happy to be on the same level. No, whatever. And the Shemesh was silent, didn't say a word. And what did Kadosh Baruch Hu do? Kadosh Baruch Hu listened to the Yireach and made the Yireach smaller and made the Shemesh greater. And therefore, the Pasuk, what the Gemara is telling us is that just like when the Shemesh heard about the Yireach's complaint, and the Shemesh could have gone and said something, no, I'm quiet. So a person who hears his shame or embarrassment and is quiet, he is like the Shemesh Begurasa, and the Shemesh was quiet, he also remains quiet. Anyway, what do I see from this? That it's a wonderful midah that a person should be quiet when he's being shamed and embarrassed. So why would Reb Yochanan say Mishum Reb Shimon Yoytzadik that a Talmud Chacham Dafka he should take revenge and he should bear a grudge? Forget. He should be on the love veinim olvim. He should be quiet and he should just accept the yisurim olav. Evni mara la'olam the nokit le'belibe. Nokalei believe it means that he's allowed to store what that person said about him in his heart, and that's the kavana when it says she'en noikim noikim nachash. However, he should not implement it on his own. Meaning, if you look at the Rashi in the third line, the nokalei believe they, he can go and store it and keep this his memory about this terrible occasion when the person is shaming him. V'imbo acher. Limkai Nik Masai. If somebody else comes on the scene and he wants to be Nokem, he wants to take revenge, Bekiyam HaMishpat Yishtoi, then he should be quiet. He shouldn't stop him and say, no, no, let him keep on shaming me, that's fine, I enjoy it, you know, let him keep on embarrassing me, let him keep on criticizing me. No. I am not going to believe the what Reb Yochanan Mishum Reb Yochanan the Yitzadik is saying is that the person is allowed to store this enmity in his heart, but he's not allowed to be over on the way Sikam V'Lei Sitar, meaning he cannot take revenge, he cannot go and bear a grudge in the sense of implementing something by telling him, I'm not like you, you didn't lend me the kardom, I'm not giving you the cholik, I'm a besser mensch, I'm going to give you the cholik. No, don't say anything, don't do anything, you can keep it in your heart. Therefore, if, however, others want to take up your cause and protest, then you should be quiet and you should not object. What's the reason why you should be quiet and not object? It's because vis-a-vis yourself, you should talk and be quiet. But because of the Rabbonus, the fact that this person is a Talmud Chacham, it's not right that a Talmud Chacham should be shamed, just like it wasn't right for Shaul HaMelech to be shamed. And so therefore, if this person wants to be an idle mensch, and he's willing to go and take this bi'ahava and smechem bi'yisurim, that's fine. But when others take up the cause on his behalf, then he does not have to go and he should not join in. But he doesn't have to be quiet. He can be quiet and he can let them do the dirty work and fight back. And there, about that, the Gemara says that if he's not nokim and noter kenochash, if he tells everybody cease and desist, ain't a talmud chacham, because you have to protect the covet of talmid chacham.
But it doesn't sound like a good explanation, because Nokam Notar Kenachash, a Nachash isn't letting other nechashim and akravim go and bite and sting for him.
Mm-hmm.
And nechash does it himself. So a Tamar Chacham who's nokem and noter kenechash is active in his own behalf. He's mm-hmm. not yishtok. He's not quiet while others...
And that was the Gemara's kasha. And the Gemara says, al korchach that the pshat is, he doesn't mean like a nechash physically that goes and attacks and bites, but rather that this nechash hears everything that's going on, and then his brothers and his cousins and his parents and his children go and fight on his behalf, and then yishtok should be quiet.
Okay.
In fact, there's a vort of the Chedusherim. Chedusherim says, when it says in the Gemara, Alein al vakosav oimer v'yhav ketzeis Hashemesh v'rasai, that this fine tzaddik, this person who's willing to accept all the abuse and not say anything, he's a good guy. But v'yhav of all of his admirers, all of his friends, all of his family, all of his talmidim, ketzeis Hashemesh v'rasai, they should go out b'cherv u'b'chanis, they should go out with mass protests. How can you say that about our father? How can you say that about our Rebbe? How can you say that about our brother? If we have of all of the good friends, and all the lovers, all the people that admire this individual, they should go and fight it, and they should protest like the Shemesh protest. Zorki Mora al-Marav, Marav said, Kalamav, Abidoyzum, Abirin, Loy al-Kolb, Shov. That a person should be maver alamidos. Maver alamidos means if somebody shames you, somebody embarrasses you, causes you damage, you should be maver and say, Sigornish is good, is fine, because if you say that, then the Kodesh Baruch Hu after 120 will be maver on your sins. What that means is that if the person who shamed him comes over and says, Rabbi Yid, I'm terribly sorry, I'm doing tshuva, I didn't mean it, I didn't, if the person asks for an apology, he apologizes, and he asks him to accept the apology, then he should be a good, nice person and accept it. So if you marvel me, Yosef, you say, okay, you shamed me, it was a terrible, terrible blow to my ego, but since you're apologizing, I accept it. That's mavin le alkov shav. But if the other guy doesn't even come with an apology, he still says, then you don't have to go. There's no inyan of being mavel midoysa because the other guy is a no goodnik. You don't have to go and suffer, and you don't have to go and say, I'm mavel, it's fine. I love you just the same. You're a great guy. You don't have to do that. Okay? Can you, I'm sorry. Can you reach your chumash?
A Jewish one, not a Goyish one.
Second shelf. Right in front of you. That's fine. It's fine.
You got the King James Version?
Thank you very much. Thank you. Oh. I'm glad everybody is a good time with me. Okay. All right. The question is, I have to read the sefer. We just said now in the Gemara that noikim noikid kenochash. What's the expression of kenochash? I could say noikim noikid kelev. What's up? Nochash. So the nochash akadmoini, it says back in Parshas Bereishis, after the original nochash, the original snake, caused trouble for Adam and Chava. It says in the pasuk, the Kadosh Baruch Hu cursed the snake. It says the eva oshis beincha uveino isha. I'm going to have that there will be constant enmity and hatred between you and between the descendants of Adam and Chava, v'edzarach and v'edzarah, hu yishuv charoish v'yat tushevenu okev. So it's taken pasuk. Now if you look in the Targum Lashon, it says in the end of that pasuk, v'at tehei notir lei l'soifa. At tehei notir lei. You, the nochash, will have this netira, this mida of being a nokem v'noter. That's why the Gemara is hopping on that the Tamar Chacham should be a nokim and notik nochash, meaning not like a present day nochash, but like nochash hakanmoini, like that original nochash, that he was a notrele, that he was constantly bearing this grudge against the Odom and Chazan, against the people.
So is the Torah commenting on the Onkelos translation rather than the Pshat, or is it supposed to be the same?
What the Mefarshim do is they shteltzu. Shteltzu means they bring proof, or they give a further explanation of why the Gemara says in the Talmud, no ter kin nochash, because the nochash was cursed to have that nida that he's going to be a notre lay.
My question is this.
Is that Tesvav?
This is the translation of the Chumash, right? So isn't that in here also?
Yeah, but it doesn't say express.
That's okay.
It's
that's
an explanation.
Then the answer. Okay.
Unkelus is not just a definition, it's also an
interpretation. So this is commenting on that, really.
Exactly. Yes, it all fits in
place.
This is your discovery?
No, I didn't discover it. There are discoveries from somewhere. I don't remember. Look here at the end of the Pasuk, the last four or five words.
I'm just wondering how much the Gemara actually quotes on Kolos over the whole Shas.
Not all. And we continue on. Shkoyach. So next year we have it on Mishnah. Now we're coming to this Pios, which we said is like a lottery, but it's not your typical lottery. But what did they do? Remember, Rashi and Mishnah said you had all the Kahanim stand around in a circle, pressed one against the other, and we took off the hat of one of the individuals, and we took off the mitznefes, and from that individual we started counting an absurdly high number. There were only 20 or 30 Kahanim, we're going to count to 100. And we're going to go around and around and around until finally the last person, number 100, he's going to do the Truma Sedeshim. Okay, so the Mishnah used an expression, Umayin Moitzian, what should they do? They should stick out either one finger or two fingers,
yeah.
But not the agudal, not the thumb, because if you do two fingers, typically those two fingers are going to be close together, so the person who's going to count the fingers, he will quickly be able to count how many Kahanim. Mashenkin, if he puts out his thumb, then there's enough distance between one and the other that the counter might mistake, might count him twice. Once we say in the Mishnah that you can go and be motzi, you can go and extend two fingers, you can go and extend one finger. One finger is not susceptible to any type of misinterpretation, to any deception, to any miscounting. Two is where there's a possibility of a miscount. So if you're allowing for two, then of course you're allowing for one. It depends whether you're talking about a healthy individual or you're talking about a sickly individual. A healthy individual can easily go and extend one finger without having to go and extend two fingers. He, in fact, should only extend one. But a certain person who has weak joints and it's very hard for him just to go and extend one finger, even a regular individual, is very difficult to go and extend your fourth finger on its own, unless you give it some support. You can try it out, either now or at the end of the year. You'll see that it's hard to go and extend your fourth finger without schlepping along the third or the fifth with it. So therefore it's saying, a choyla that cannot go and extend one finger, a kamuknish. So therefore we allow him to go and extend two fingers. And he more says, what tanya? Peloshen nichusa, I'll bring you a raya. Achas moitzien, when you're doing the payos, only extend one finger. Don't extend two fingers. If the person is healthy, the person who's not healthy, he's sick. He can't control his fingers. He doesn't have enough strength in his fingers to hold one back. And so therefore, he can go and extend two fingers.
Is he kosher to do the avoda if he's sick?
So that's a very good question. When I was learning with my son last night, he said, if he's so sickly, he can't go and put out two fingers.
He can't do a kmitza, he can't do a lot of things, he can't hold the shovel.
But apparently this is a particular weakness, like an arthritis of sorts. You can't go and control a particular finger. But he was able to control his hand to be able to go and do the Truma Sedeshim, to put in a scoop, take out some of the ash, put it down next to the kevesh. Apparently he did have the strength for that. Because in fact, if he didn't have the strength, why is he even standing?
Exactly.
He should have stayed in bed. Why did he get up at 4 o'clock in the morning for the pious? So we're talking about a situation that's choyle in one respect, but not in other respects. It's afil choyle, afil shtayim moitzin. And then it says, v'hayichidim moitzin shtayim. And the yichidim, they can go and put out two. V'ein moin lehen alachas, but we only count as one. Now, who are the yichidim that we're talking about? So Rashi says that the yichidim we're talking about are choylem, people that are unique and singular in the fact that they happen to be sickly. If you look at Rashi, six lines at the top, the yichidim becholim she'enan yoishvin im shar b'nei adam. The reason why they're called yichidim is because they're sitting separately from everybody else. Maybe they are in a shtickle quarantine. Maybe they're in a shtickle distancing. social distance. They're on their own, and therefore, yeah, what's the problem?
How can they be sitting in the Azara, in Yeshiva Bazar, or Machus Beisavit Bavad?
Okay, so where did this counting take place? It may have taken place in one of those Lashokas which had a din of Chayim.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. But bottom line is, Zoktoch the Gemara, that you can go and count them all to, you can allow them to extend two fingers. There's an obvious question. We just got finished saying that a chola is permitted to go and extend two fingers. Why does the Braisa say, and the Yechidim, they can also be Motzi Shtayim? Who are the Yechidim? Rashi says, those are the Cholin. We already said, spoke about chola. Isn't this repetitive? Isn't this redundant? Isn't this duplicative? Sorry?
The Gemara redundant?
The Gemara, yeah, the Gemara is redundant, because it's saying that a chola Yefil Shtayim, and then he says, Yechidim Motzi Shtayim. So you'll notice in the Rashi, at the end of the Rashi it says, Oyosh from Levadam, there's an Aleph there, and that Aleph is the Bach, and the Bach in fact disagrees somewhat with Rashi. You look at the Bach here in the right hand column, at least in my voice, the right hand column.
Mm-hmm. Bach is a composer, I don't know.
Yeah, that's a different Bach. Yeah. Look, there's the Bach. You should see the Lin Nira Barur, and to me it's clear. The reference to Yechidim here is not referring to Cholim per se, it's referring to Rabban. Can Isa Batan is Taf Yud? Man Yechidim Rabban. Over there, Gemara talks about that if you had to go and make a Tanis for him, there was no rain, then initially the only ones that fast are the Yechidim. Later on, if it still doesn't rain, then Gans Klai Yisrael fasts. Who are the Yechidim? Gemara says the Rabban and Tamid Chacham. Rabbanan Nikru Cholim. Rabbanan are also known as Cholim. Can Isa Medarim Taf Mem Tes Man Cholim Rabban. Because the Rabbanan, they typically do not have the wherewithal to eat properly or to sleep properly, and so therefore they are usually weak. Teila Perushai says Bach. If we're talking about according to Rashi, Varikvar Omar Avol B'Cholim. So why does the Brice have to repeat B'Cholim twice? And so therefore, in all likelihood, says the Bach, the real pshat, borderly, is that not, we're not talking about your standard cholim, we're talking about tamid chacham. That's a pshat in Yechidim. The Rishash, by the way, at the back of the Gemara, says a different pshat. Rishash says it's talking about people that although they are sickly, they however could theoretically put in the effort and extend an extra finger. However, because they are sitting on their own, like Rashi says, the shochvim, Oyoshvim Levadam, I'm not concerned if they were to extend two fingers. Because the whole concern about the two fingers is that the counter is going to miscount when you have two fingers extended. And that's why I make sure not to use the Google, because Avada, that may look like two fingers. But if I'm sitting in a chair there in the corner and I'm being counted, nobody's going to say, even if I put out five fingers, nobody's going to go and count me as five. They're going to count me as one, because I'm sitting Levadam, I'm sitting as a Yochid. And therefore, they can be Moitzi Shtayim. They don't even have to be careful to try to hold back a finger. Nah! Put out two fingers. Who cares? Nobody's going to miscount you as to... You like that shot, right?
Beautiful.
That's why I'm sharing it. V'ayichina Moitzi Shtayim v'imoyin lehen el achas. Freikti moriyez v'imoyin lehen el achas. You only count two fingers as one. But Tanya, we have a braisa. Ein moitzien loy sholish v'loy gudul. Don't stick out your middle finger, and don't stick out your gudul, meaning the thumb. Nei hora moin, because of those that want to deceive. What could be the deception? So you remember Rashi said already yesterday that the deception is clear. If by the time we're getting to the third or fourth round, and we find that this is really kind of the final round, and we know number 100 is going to be in this round, so now, if a person said, ah, I can count already, and I see the guy in front of me, he's going to go and win it. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to extend two separate fingers, and by extending two fingers, then the counter is going to miscount, and he's going to think that the second finger, that's me, you're going to count me twice, and I'm going to get the Truma Sadesh. So therefore, don't extend the third finger, not the first finger, because it can come to a miscount. However, the imhoitzi sholish, what happens with the Yevit if he did extend a third finger? Then moin and light, then we will count it. But if he extends a gudel, a moin and light, we will not count it. Aha. Anybody that does this type of trick, that he extends both a regular finger and the agudel, the thumb, because of the fact that this is likely to lead to a miscount, then the mamuna on the pekiah, the person who is holding on to the whip or to the strap, he is going to go and give him malchus. So we're going to give him patch. Exactly right. Okay. So now, what's the Gemara's kasha? The Gemara's kasha is initially don't go and stick out your third finger. It means the third finger together with the second finger. Don't extend those two together because it could lead potentially to a miscarriage. It's not as bad as the thumb, because the thumb, even with the evid, if he did it, ain't more than like we disqualify. But lichatchila, don't extend two fingers because it could lead to problems. Uh-huh. But if he did extend the third finger, then moinulai, we would count it. So the Gemara is assuming we're going to count it as two. We're going to count finger number two as one finger, finger number three as one finger. In other words, we're going to count, you're going to give him two together. We just said in the previous price of the ein moin lele achas, and here it sounds like we are moine twice. Hefti mora, mein moinen loy nami. When it says moinen, we mean taka achas. We mean that we're going to count him once. What do you mean? Of course we're going to count him once. What's the chiddush? The pshat in the price is azeh, that we tell people, lechatchila, if you're a bari, only extend one finger. Don't extend two fingers. I don't care which the other finger is, whether it's the third finger, whether it's the first finger, only extend one finger altogether. However, if you extended two fingers other than the thumb, b'di'evit, we will not disqualify you, but rather we will count you as part of the count. However, if you go and extend an agudel as one of your two fingers, you will be rejected, dejected, and ejected. We're not going to allow you to be counted anymore. We're going to put on you a knas. Get out of here because you are a rama. But lemaisa, the person who extended the second and the third fingers together, moinela, but only achas. We don't count twice. We only count him once. Now the Gemara said that loy oid, the agudel person, is aleshaloikim and amunah bepekia. Frankly, on my pekia, what's the definition of pekia? Amar Rav, oh, pekia is the madra. Frank tomorrow, my madra, what does madra mean? Amra papa mitarka detai to posik reshe. Mitarka is the whip or the strap, the tie that belongs to the Ishmaelim, these Arab merchants, which is used, Rashi says, like a whip to go and
create a surface area of pain.
Okay. The whip was used, Rashi says, for susim. Susim are for horses. In other words, if you're riding on a horse and the horse is being kind of stubborn, so you give him a strap.
Horse whip.
A horse whip. Otazai. Now, what's pasik reshe? Rashi says that there are whips that are at the end of the whip. They have a circle, or they're intact as one shtick, one piece. Well, this one that we're talking about here is that as you get to the end of the strap, it divides up into, or subdivides into, 5, 10, 20 little mini straps. And Rashi says that that's a little bit more effective for purposes of the horse. So if you see in the Rashi in the middle of the Amid, Pasik Reishay, well, look at the Rashi before. Mitarka Desai, the Tai. So Rashi, Ritsuis are straps. Ishmaelim of the Arab merchants, who are suya shut lesusim. It's made in such a form that you can use it as a to stir up and to whip the horse, as a horse whip. The pasuk reshe, the kach kriya pekia. How did it get this funny name pekia? She'ena rechava beroish kishar ritzuis malchus. It's not broad at the end, wide at the end, like your normal ritzua that you go and give pech. Ela mafsekes beroish l'ritzuis dakos, but rather at the end you cut it into small little pieces, small little straps. Kedei she'yargish bo asusioiser, and then the horse has a better feel for it. He realizes what your intentions are. Upekia loshen pisuk usedokim. The word pekia means that there are cracks and crevices that is cut into pieces. Kimoi, as we'll see in the Gemara momentarily, mavloe or mibaloe michnasei hakehanim mafkien. That it says at the time of the Simchas Beis Sheva, they used to go and make these huge torches. What did they use for the wicks of the torches? They used baloi. Baloi means the worn out. Michnasei are the michnasayim, a kahanim. So the kahanim had their begodim, the kohen hedyot had the four begodim, kohen gadol eight begodim, but kuli alma, all of them had the michnasayim that was common to both. And once they got worn out, so then instead of just throwing them out or putting in these or whatever, they went and made from it pekiyim, they made wicks to put into the torches. Mafkin. So we see the mafkin is Lashon Kriya to go and tear it into little pieces. So here too, Pasuk Reisha, that's how it was called a pakia, because at the end of the strap, it looked like little pieces coming out. Om Rabbi, so Bayis and Marisha Bamina, I always thought, Hodit Nan, This is the Mishnah that we learned in Shkolim not too long ago. We had that Mishnah that there were 15 Mamunim in the Beis HaMikdash. One was in charge of the Pinchas HaMalbish, and we had Psachia Alakinim, Psachia Zum Mordechai, and then we had Ben Bivoy, or Ben Bibi, it said there in the Mishnah. He was Mun Al Pekir. So Parsha Pshat, Mun Al Pekir means Amina Pesilta, that he was in charge of the wicks. Kinnan, like we learned in the Mishnah, Mi Baloi Mechnasei HaKehanim U Mehamineim, from the worn out Mechnasayim, as well as Mehamineim means from the Avnates, the worn out Gartlech, the worn out belts. From those they would go make the wicks, and they made the guns of fires with them. So therefore that, says Abai, is what I thought Ben Bivoy was in charge of. He was in charge of the wicks for purposes of the Simchas Beis Sheva, as well as on a daily basis for purposes of the Menorah. You need wicks for the Menorah. Now that we just heard this price, my Pekia Nagda, that Ben Bivoy was in charge of the whippers, those that went and executed the malchus in the Beis HaMikdash. So he was in charge of those individuals to make sure that they did the proper job and did what they were supposed to, etc.
On Mary's earlier shaila,
yes,
the cholin, how did the avoda?
Yeah, yeah.
You answered that the mishach should come to you. Halacha mind me the whole losses of the chak.
Ah. Good.
The question before was very raised.
Yeah.
If they're cold, and they can't put the
kazakh. Right.
So how can you avoid that?
Right.
The answer is you can do it. Of the cock.
He pushes himself.
Okay.
With great effort.
Well, he's talking sickly. However, the reason why he wanted to is that actually says, I'm going to really gird myself, invigorate myself, and I'm going to run and do the best I can to do it nevertheless. Even though I'm
small, even stronger than him.
Yeah. We saw it in the Mishnah yesterday, somewhat of a tragic story of two. Remember, initially they didn't have the pious for Trumas Hadeshen, but they rather allowed anybody to run up, and whoever was the who got to the finishing line first, he got the Trumas Hadeshen. So it said in the Mishnah that one time one of the Kahanim, seeing his competitor getting close to the finish line, so he gave him a push, the other guy tripped, and he broke a leg. And from that point on, they instituted the pious. And now we're going to have a brisa where there were, unfortunately, much, much worse consequences. Tana Rabban, the brisa, Maisa B'Shnei Kehanim, Shehoyu Shneim Shovin, both were able to run equally quickly, V'Ratzen, and they were running up, V'Oilu B'Kevish, Kodem Echad Mehem L'Toich Arba Amish El Chaveir, one of them got close to the other fellow, Notel Sakin, Rechman L'Tzlon, he took a knife, the Tokalo, I believe in Chasr Shomer, Muhammad Slanim Nebuchi killed the other coin. Omer Reb Tzadik al Malas Ulam. Reb Tzadik then stood up Malas Ulam. Rashi says Malas Ulam is not referring to the Ulam inside the Beis HaMikdash. It's referring to an outside Ulam on the Har Habayis, because Hurdus went and built a whole bunch of these Ulamais out in the Har Habayis for people to sit, for people to sit in the shade, or what have you. And therefore he stood up on one of those Ulamais, and he made the following, if you will, almost like a hesped. V'omar, Achenu Beis Yisrael, Shimu, listen! Hari Oymet says in the Pasuk of the Gabi, the Egla Rufa, Ki Motzi Cholol Bo Adama, if you go and find Nebuch, a person, dead person out there in the wilderness, and we don't know who did it, you don't know who killed him, what do? V'yotz Kenech B'Shiftecha, you have to go to the closest town. How do you know which is the closest town? You have to measure it with the kinds of measuring sticks and yardsticks, etc., to figure out which is the closest. And then the Kenim come from Yerushalayim, and they come down to oversee the measuring. And then after they leave the local, the Kenim have to say, Yadenu l'shafchas adam b'zev, enenu l'ro, it's not our fault, we didn't do it. And then they have to go and take an egla, and they have to decapitate it, like it says in the Torah. Okay, so now, said Reb, Zeb Tzadik, probably. So Reb Tzadik gets up and he says, Reb Oisai, normally what's the halacha when you find the Chol Ba'adama? Then the closest town has to go and bring the Egla Rufa. Oh, no, I'm Lila Havi Egla Rufa. Who's going to bring an Egla Rufa in this case? Alair, is it Yerushalayim that's going to bring it? Oy Allah Azara, since this took place Nebuch in the walls of the base of Mikdash, maybe the Azara has to go and bring the Egla Rufa. When they heard these words, go, kolam b'bchi, everybody started crying. Nebuch, at these words of Techocha, these words of these admonitions of Reb Tzadik. We're going to talk about this a little bit more on the Amud Beis. L'choyre Egla Rufa is totally inapplicable in this case.
Right, because we know we did it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. The whole din of Egla Rufa is Le'noida Mihiko, and here we know exactly who did it.
So what's the crime for?
Well, but the other, the Egla Rufa was showing culpability of those who sent out this person without giving him. So there's certain culpability
sure.
There that created this type of environment.
Hazard.
Okay, so Mitch, we're going to talk about this shortly. But Oviv Shel Tinoik, the father of the Tinoik, just meaning of this Kohen that was a strong guy that was able to run. We don't mean a Tinoik, a child, but we're talking about the child of the father. So the father of this slain Kohen came on the scene. But he saw that he wasn't dead yet, but he was never still gasping his last breaths. Omar, how are you, Kaparaschem? When he passes away, he should be a Kapara for all of you. Vardayim, the knee mefarfer, but I want you to know that my son is still alive. And therefore, the sakin, which is unfortunately in his heart, has not become tame yet. What the father meant to say in a subtle way is it would be a good idea to withdraw the sakin from his heart. My son is already, it's already beyond hope. However, at least save the sakin from becoming tame. Because if it becomes tame when his son will pass away, then it will have a din of an avi avoy satuma, because as we know, cherev harihu kecholol, and we're going to have the hazor shlishu shvi, and we're going to have tefillah in the mikvah. And now you say to yourself, father, is that what you're concerned about now? You'd be concerned to go and bring a kol mendi for hatzolah to quail quickly. Maybe, who knows, maybe we could still save the kid. Rather, he's worried about the sakin. The lamedcha comes to tell you, shekosha aleim taras kelim. The Indian that a keli should be tahir and not be tameh, that was greater than the concern about Nebuch, this murder. And again, the Gemara is going to talk about this on the Amud Beis. And the Gemara cites now a pasuk chenu oimer, and that's what it says in the pasuk, v'gam dam noki shofach menashe harbin mioid. Menashe HaMelech, who was a very wicked king as we know, he went and killed many, at a shemile yes Yerushalayim pet lepet, until the streets of Yerushalayim were full of the flowing blood of all of the victims of Menashe. Why does the Gemara bring that pasuk? Again, the Gemara is going to talk about it on the Amud Beis. So now the Gemara wants to know historically. Obviously we have two terrible cases. The case of our Mishnah, where one Kohen pushed the other one down and the guy broke a leg, but the much more tragic circumstances of this Braisa, where one Kohen never killed the other Kohen. So Frank Yomar, which one happened first? Hay Maisakoh. Ilayim the Shvichas Daman, the case of our Gemara and the murder, Hat Shvichas Daman Loi Tekino Paisa, and Hishbar Rag Loi Tekino. And our Mishnah says that after the story of the Kohen pushing down the other Kohen and breaking his leg, then they were Masakin Pais. I don't understand. If you can tell me that the Shvichas Damim happened first, shouldn't it have been Masakin Pais after the Shvichas Damim? That's such a much more terrible thing, a terrible scenario. That's when they should have made the Pais. So if they didn't make the Pais after the Shvichas Damim, and this Viragla Tekino, for something which is trifling in comparison, for there they should make the Pais. Allah, so if you might, the Nishbaragla Kodim, the Nishbaragla case of our Mishnah, that came first. So if you might, the Kima Tekino Paisa, if they already misakin the pious, and now you're telling me subsequently you had a story never Shvichas Damim, how did that even occur? Arba Amas Mai Viditayu. In our Braisa, it said that they both ran off the cabbage, and then as one was approaching, the other one never stabbed him. I don't understand what you're talking about. Didn't we just say now that after Nishbaragloi, Tekino pious? If there's a pious, nobody should be running. Whoever wins, wins. Whoever loses, loses. Really, the one of the murder never took place first. When the Yikaris Sover, initially the people that were Mamuna were in charge, thought, Akrei Ba'almahu, this is obviously a Meshigan. The person must have been on drugs, he must have been crazy. And whoever heard of something like that, because you want the visit to the session, you're going to go and kill and stab someone. The person must be deranged. And therefore, for a case like this, we're not going to go and make a pious, because this is something so incredible, so extraordinary. We don't have to be Mesakin Pais. However, Kim the Chozi, Afilu Memela, once they saw, okay, the case of Shvichas Damim Taka is a rare case, one out of a million, I agree. But once they saw that you can even have lesser cases of, as a result of the competition, that one unfortunately pushes the other one down and he breaks his leg, no, Then Tekina Rabbanan Paisin. And he said, obviously we see that this is not, it's not as the a type of case like a murder chas v'shalom, but this type of thing that what, as a result of competition, one might push the other, this could very likely reoccur. And therefore they said, you know what, let's go and institute the pais. Now we said, Omer Reb Tzadik al Malas Ulam, Reb Tzadik got up, and the Omer, Acheinu Beis Yisrael, Shem, listen, Harioi Miki Matzachol Ba'adoma, Anan Al Nilo Havi, who is going to bring the Egla Rufa? Alayir, Yerushalayim, or Yal Azaris, who is the Beis Migdish who's going to have to go and fund the Egla Rufa? Pray Timara, Yerushalayim Basasui Egla Rufi, Yerushalayim is even, doesn't even have the rule of bringing Egla Rufa. Why not? But I just will do a price. I saw it going to remember Yerushalayim. It's the Gemara in the end in Bava Kama that it lists 10 special rules and regulations that apply to the Yerushalayim. Zuachas Mehen, one of them was, and with the Egla Rufa. Now, why does it bring Egla Rufa? Says the top Rashi, because it says in the Pasuk, Yimotzi Chol Ba'adoma, in the place Lerishta. What is the full Pasuk over here? In the Adama that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you as a Yerusha. If you find such a chol in the Adama, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Yerusha, then you have the whole procedure, the whole ceremony and ritual of Egla Rufa. Aha, Dr. Ashi. Then you shall lie in Mirusha, because of the Schalke Lishvatim. We had this machloikas earlier on in our Masechta. Exactly, whether Yerushalayim was subdivided for Shvatim or not, or whether it was an international city. So this one, the Yama hold that it was not subdivided. Since it wasn't subdivided, so then there shouldn't be a din of Egla Rufa Bechlal. What is Reb Tzadik saying? Reb Tzadik saying, who's going to bring the Egla Rufa? Nobody's going to bring the Egla Rufa, because there's no din of Egla Rufa by Yerushalayim. V'oi d'nochazach. Says the pasuk, "Lo noida miyiko." Except, "But noida miyiko." We know exactly who's the one that killed him. When we saw the tukahana, what's the shaila? So therefore, the whole inyan doesn't apply. Well, kedei laharbois bebchia. Avad Reb Tzadik knew that. Reb Tzadik was no fool and no amoret. He knew that. But the reason why he went and used these words was to be able to go and cause everybody to cry and to really instill in them achil ura odiyeches, and they should all be terrified by this terrible occurrence that happened. Now the pasuk says the price said va'avishal tinik umatzoy kishu mafar. The father came and saw that the son was still gasping his last breaths. Omer hariyu kaparaschem. He said this should be your kapara. And the mafarshim say that the reason why he used the expression hariyu kaparaschem, because since we just concluded that we don't bring an egla rufa from Yerushalayim, as well as we wouldn't bring an egla rufa because leinoydem yiko and here noydem yiko. When you bring an Egla Rufa, it says Kaparli Amchu Yisrael Asher Padisa. It does use the lashon of kapara. What's going to be the kapara over here? So the father said, the petira of my son, that will be Chas V'Shalom, that will be the kapara. V'adayim Nikayim, but the knife is still there and it's becoming tame. Lamed Chashikash Alem Taras Kelim Yoyis V'Shvichasam. Pray to my Ibailu Shvichasam who dissolve Avataras Kalim Kedekaima Kaima. Or you do Mashvichas Dom Kedekaima Kaima Avataras Kalim He Dechamira. What the Gemara is saying is, the father, or the Gemara is learning from the father's statement a comparison, that it was more chomer to them the inyan of Tumas Kalim than Shvichas Dom. Is it because they became very, very lax at that when you heard about Shvichas Dom? It's similar to what you hear about today. It used to be years ago, you heard Chas V'Shalom, a mass murder, somebody killed 5-6 people with a gun. Oh, did you hear what happened? It's terrible, terrible. Nowadays, one day it's 5 people, and the next day it's somewhere else, 8 people, and the next day, yeah, exactly. Unfortunately, it's become so commonplace, people don't even go and shed a tear about it, and they're not concerned about it. Never, every day is Shvich HaZam. See, it's because Shvich HaZam would dissolve. But Taras Kelim, the Kaim HaKaim, the Taras Kelim remained at the same level of concern as it always was. No, Shvich HaZam is still, that was something that resonated in the heart of every Jew. Oy, this is terrible, terrible, terrible. Av Taras Kelim, the Chamir, but Taras Kelim was nevertheless still more Chomer than the Inyan of murder. Toshema Midikonosum Talmud, and now I know why the Gemara brought the second pasuk. The Gamnam Noki, Shofach, Menashe, Shema Mino, what was the purpose of bringing them that pasuk? Because that pasuk says that after Menashe went and Nebuch did all of his shchitos, there was blood flowing in Yerushalayim from one end to the other end. Shema Mino, Shvichas Dom, Hudazol. We see by bringing that pasuk, but unfortunately, murder had become so commonplace that people no longer looked upon this as being the terrible tragedy, because unfortunately every day we heard Nebuch more Mises and more terrible stories. But the great insistence that people had on Kedusha V'Tahara, Legabi Kelim, that remained at the same level that it was. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Now we have two psukim which are back to back in the Torah. We have them here in the Torah Or HaSholim as well, and here in the Torah Or HaSholim they are brought in reverse order because that's how they're brought in the psukim. But it's kedai to look at the two psukim in tandem to get a feel for the next gemara. Remember, Rabbi Yisai, there's a difference between Trumas HaDeshen and Hoitzoas HaDeshen, or Haromas HaDeshen. Trumas HaDeshen means the symbolic amount of ash that was removed from the Mizbeach every day, regardless of the amount of Kabonis that were brought that day, even if there were few and far between, there was still a little bit of ash, remove a little bit of ash and put it down next to the Mizbeach, next to the Kevesh, on the floor. And then it was some ate on Mizbeach, and then it was swallowed up miraculously. That's a daily event. And then there's the Hoitzoas HaDeshen. Hoitzoas HaDeshen wasn't a daily event, only when it was necessary. When there was a huge accumulation on the Mizbeach, then they had to go and call the Kahanim to go and remove it and take it in the Chutz Lamachne, and they poured it out al Shefech HaDeshen. Now it's interesting that the Pasuk talks about changing clothes from Trumas HaDeshen to Hoitzoas HaDeshen. So in our Gemaras you have Torah or HaSholim number 3, and then we'll get to number 2. So number 3, other Gemaras maybe it's Beis and Gimel. Here it says, V'lovash HaKoyen Midevad. We're talking about the Trumas HaDeshen. The Koyen should wear Midevad. Midevad means the Ksones. Ksones is a tunic. U'mechnasevad Yilbash Al Besarim. He should be wearing his Mechnasayim. Note that the Pasuk only mentions 2 out of the 4 normal big day Koyen Hedged. We're going to talk about that shortly in the Gemara. Why does it only mention the 2 and not the other 2? The other 2 was the mitznefes, the hat, and the avnet, and the gartel. Those are left out. He should now do the trumas adeshen, pick up some of the deshen from the mizbech. And then he takes it down the kevesh. The somebody puts it on the ground next to the kevesh, next to the mizbech. That's pasuk 1. Now let's go to the next pasuk, which is written here in reverse order. Ufashen is the god of. If he gets now the job of not only doing the Trumas HaDeshen, but also the Hoitzoas HaDeshen, meaning there was an accumulation of ash, and he's taking it outside Chutz L'machne, then he should take off the big day koyin that he was wearing until now. He should wear other clothing. What is the definition of other clothing? I don't know yet. We're going to discuss that momentarily. V'hoitzis HaDeshen, now this big accumulation of ash, of ash. You should take him chutz l'machna mokem tor to the Shefach HaDeshen. Good. So now the Gemara's initial focus is going to be on what are those begodim achim. Does that mean he takes off the big dikuna and now he puts on his suit or he puts on his jeans, he puts on pajamas? What does he put on? What are those begodim achim? It's Tanurban. Ufoshat, he takes off the begodim that he was wearing until now, meaning the big dekuna, for sure it's begodov, and v'lovish begodim achayim, v'hoitzis ha'adashen michutz ha'machna. Shemani, so I could learn, I could hear, k'derech yom kippurim, shepoishet big dekodesh, v'lovish big dechot. Just like on yom kippurim, you take off the big dekodesh and you put on big dechot. Where do you find it? You take off big dekodesh and you put on big dechot? So you have a fairly extensive Rashi over here, but Rashi says, don't understand the Gemara literally, that you take off the big day kahuna and you put on the big day chol, but rather we're talking about that the Kohen Gadol, as we know, on Yom Kippur, was constantly changing clothing from the big day zahav to the big day lavan, and from the big day lavan to the big day zahav. He did that 5 times on Yom Kippur. That is shaykh to say the gabe the Kohen Gadol, because he had 2 sets of begodim. But Kohen Hedjit only has 1 set of begodim. And so therefore, what is he going to change from 1 set of big day loban to another set of big day loban? So therefore, said the Gemara, Shemani kederach yom kippurim, just like by Yom Kippur, Shepoish and big day kodesh, he takes off the big day zahav, and he puts on the loy big day chol, he puts on the big day loban. So the same thing over here, that probably the Kohen Hedjit, that only has 1 set, he takes off the big day loban, and he puts on his regular civilian clothing. So I might have thought, Talmud loy mafosh has begodim, v'lovish begodim ha'achayim. makish begodim shaloyvesh le begodim shepoishit. In the same breath, we talk about taking off the first set of garments and putting on the second. So you have hekesh one to the other. Malalam bigdei kodesh, avkan bigdei kodesh. Yes, you should go and change into other bigdei kodesh. Pray tomorrow. So Ibazai, what do you mean? Other bigdei kodesh is already wearing bigdei lavan. Mk matam aloy ma'achirim chusam mehen. You should put on bigodim which are less valuable than the first bigdei lavan. In which respect are they less valuable? Says Rashi, kigoyin shchokim, that they're already slightly worn out. So although they're still kosher, because until they are mikuroyim, if they are either dirty or they are torn, then you cannot use those bigodim. However, if they are clean and they happen to be strong, even though they're not fresh, brand new, they're already a year old, 2 years old, they've already been washed numerous times, and they're starting to wear, but nevertheless, standard wear and tear is fine, as long as they're not torn, and you can use those begotten. And therefore, Jokto the Gemara,
they could be just a Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol, who the Kohen Gadol, yeah, you can't wear them again the next Yom Kippur, but he could pass them on to the regular Kohanim to use during the year.
Brother Shai, what you're saying is beautiful. We're going to have that in another few lines.
They don't
learn
that the Kohen Gadol,
That's true. The Gemara said that one time one of the mothers of one of the Kohanim was a good seamstress, a good tailor, and she put together big tikkunah on behalf of her son, but she couldn't give it directly to the son. She first had to give it to the Mamuna and say, I'm giving it with all of my heart to the base of Yiddish, and now it's no longer mine. Now it's now funds and the assets of the tzibur. Then the Mamuna was able to go and assign those begodim to her son. But anyway, but the point is, the long Rashi says that just like the Kohen Gadol transferred from the Big Day Zohav to the Big Day Lavan, so too I thought Mahavamina, a Kohen Hedjit, will change into civilian clothing. Kamashula, no, he also has to put on Big Day Lavan to Big Day Lavan, but the Big Day Lavan number two can be Shchokim, they can be Pchusimian. The reason why they're Pchusimian is obvious, and that is because since this is, if you will, dirty work, he has to go and schlep out the ash can easily go and soil the Big Day Lavan, so we don't want to soil brand new, beautiful Big Day Lavan, we'd rather go and take, you know, second hand, already worn out Big Day Lavan, which is still kosher, but let those get dirty, as opposed to dirtying a nice, beautiful pair of the Big Day Lavan. So that's the first shot. Reb Lezer Oimer Achelim V'hoitzi Limin Al Akrihane Bali Mumin Shikshen V'hoitzi Adeshen. Wow! Reb Lezer says they have a brand new pshat. Again, what are the words in the Torah? It says, Ufoshet Et Begodav V'lovash Begodim Achelim. The way Reb Lezer's learning pshat is, he says, you don't have to say Begodim Achelim, it's a Chadav Poshet, what's going on? Therefore he says, Ufoshet Et Begodav, the Koyin takes off the Begodim, V'lovash Begodim, and he puts on other begodim, comma semicolon. Who is the one that puts on these begodim? Achayrim, other kohanim, not the kohanim that we're talking about until now, the Trumas Hadeshim kohanim. Those had to be lechayra, full fledged kohanim.
They're new.
But we're going to go and take now kohanim bali mumim that are otherwise disqualified for regular avodah, but they're kosher to go and be mitzvah Hadeshim, because after all, 90% of that work is chutz to the base of Migdash. It's not work in the base of Migdash, it's carting out the ash outside the base of Migdash. So even a Baal Mum can do that. That's a machlekes. Omamah, Achidim b'chusim mehen. The Tanakhama said it's got to be worth less. Ketan b'bishmol, ketan b'bishmol. Begodim shebishul hem kedei l'rabbi, l'yimzeg behem kois l'rabbi. Rashi brings this in Chumash as well, that when you have a chef inside the kitchen, and he's also acting as the meltzar, he's also acting as the waiter, you don't want the apron that was used by the chef and which is splattered on it all the fats and all the schmutz and everything else come out into the act as a waiter in the dining room, and everybody says, "Ugh, look at it, looks terrible." The rabbi, he takes unappetizing. He takes off the dirty apron, he puts on a nice tuxedo, and he looks like a penguin, and he walks around, and he gives out all the food, etc. So the gunish bishvan kedel rabbi liyim zeben kolis rabbi. So that we don't want the same begonim which are being used to cart out the ash, which now can become soiled, and use that now for doing the avoid passage. Very nice shot. Omri Shlokish. Kimachloikis baitza, kach machloikis biharoma. What Rish Lakish is saying is that just like when it comes to the haitzos hadeshin, you can go and use, according to one man diyamar, according to a blazer, you can go and use koyhanim bali mumin. Even for the trumas hadeshin, you can use a koyin balmum. Because it's not really an avoider. It's not a shchita, a kabbalah sedam, a zrika, a haitzos. This is not being mapped to aymunin. It's really just a cleanup job, if you will. It's choshev, but it's not on that same level of an avoider with a capital ayin. It's an avoider with a small ayin. And so therefore, Rish Lakish says, the identical machloikas that we had before, whether you can use kehanim, bali, mumen, or not, how do you understand the word acherim? The same thing applies to harama, meaning to trumas hadesh. This is in the Bismedish. This is in the Azara. This is the Mizbeach. You're putting it down on the floor of the Azara. Everybody agrees that that's an avoid with a capital I, and only a regular Koyin and not a Koyin Baal. Pray to my time with Rish Lakish. Where does Rish Lakish get this from? Amalach. If you're going to go and tell me that the din of Trumas Hadeshin is a full-fledged avoider that requires a regular koyin and not a koyin balmum, the pasuk tells you that you only have to wear two of the big day kahuna, like we were medayik before in the pasuk. V'lovesh ha-koyin midoy vad, that's the kesoynis. U'michnas vad, that's the michnas haim. What about the mitznefes? What about the avnet? The fact that the Torah tells us only those two begotten tells you that it's not a full-fledged avoidu with a capital I, it's in a small I, and therefore two begotim is enough. Ah, so just like two begotim is enough, also a koyin balmum is enough. And therefore, I have a raya, koyin balmum is good even for the trumas hadesh. Rabbi Yochanan said, nah. Goli rachmon v'ksoyin v'chasayim, even though the Torah only enumerates the koyin is in v'chasayim, v'wadim, the same thing applies to mitzvah as v'yavnei, there too the same halacha applies, and therefore the koyin is doing the trumas hadesh and has to put on all the four begadim. Right, tomorrow, Maishna Hani. If he has to go and wear all four, then why would the pasuk specify these two? The pasuk lechari should be silent, since we know the koyin, by definition, koyin means bekihuna. What makes the koyin? Not only the fact that he's in his jeans, he's a koyin, but that he's wearing the big day kahuna. So it should say that the koyin should go behave as a dasher. Why does it have to say that he has to wear the big day kahuna? What we're talking
only
about
these two. It's setting up the whole question by only listening to
exactly. So either list nothing or list all four. But right. What's up is two. So Gemara Maishnahani. So Gemara, because it's telling you milta agavorche kamashla. It's telling you separate halacha. Number one, midai vad, midai kemidasai, that you have to make sure that the big day kahuna fit the koyin. They're not allowed to be too long. They're not allowed to be too short. And Rashi brings another Gemara. For instance, what happens if it is too long? What would we do if we have long pants? It's too long. Then you would go and fold them up and you make a cuff out of it, or you'd cut it off. But you wouldn't go and leave it long. Here, you cannot go and cuff it up. You have to go and cut it two sides, meaning the koyin has to really fit him perfectly. So that's what you learn from the midoy kimidase. What do you learn from Mechnesevad? It says in the Brisa, how do you know that the person should not be wearing anything on his flesh, on his skin, before he puts the mechnasayim on? Here we're not talking so much about din kedima, which goes first, which goes second, but rather we're talking about that there should not be a chatzitza. A person should not wear under the mechnasayim, for instance, underpants. Shenemar, it says mechnasayvad yilvash al psaray, on his basar, on his flesh, on his skin. So that's what I need, the mechnasayvad yilvash al psaray, to tell you that no chatzitza, nothing else in between the mechnasayim and the person's skin. But Lamaisa, it's all four begadim. It's not just two begadim. We only mention these two because of the chidushim, the halachas that we learn. Rish Lakish says, no. There are only two. are you going to tell me that? How do I know the zinim of the midah can be dosai and about the nothing before the mechasai? Bishlokish midah can be dosai mid afki rachmanu b'loshin madai. After all, it could have said directly in the pasuk. Why does it say midai vadim? It's a very strange. Tell you the din of midasai. That's why it said midai instead of saying ksainis. What about the din shle deb kaidem mechasai? Me al psarin afka. That you learn from the second part. It says the mechasai vad yilbash al psarin. It could have said mechasai vad yilbash. Of course, al psarin. Where he's going to put it? He's going to put it on his nose, on his toes. He's going to put it on his briefcase. Of course, al psarin. That's where you wear mechasai. Therefore, the Alpsari comes to tell you that it's got to be Alpsari and nothing else in between, no chatzitz. Anyway, so bottom line is we have now, if you will, a double machlokes. Number one, for the Trumas Hadeshen, do you need only two begadim, or you have to have all four begadim? And number two, do you have to have a koyin who's a tam, a shalem, or can you even use a balma? So if you want lemeka tonight, let's say this machlokes that we're talking about until now is in fact a machlokes tonight. It says in the pasuk al basari matam aloymar yilbash. Havi mitznafes v'avneit laharom adiv Reb Yehuda. What is this all about? If you look at the pasuk again, the pasuk is again repetitive because the pasuk begins the lovash hakoyin midoivad. The lovash means to go and dress. The koyin is going to dress with the midoivad with exones, and he's going to dress and he'll say vad yilbash. He's going to dress. I already said he's going to go and dress. Why am I repeating the word yilbash? It could have said v'lovesh akoyin midevad or mechusevad al psarei mitachatzitza anachatzitza. What do I need the yilbash for? Exactly. If a person is getting dressed, oh, I'm dressing now my shirt. I'm dressing now my pants. I'm dressing now my socks. I'm dressing my shirt, my pants.
You dress the person, not the clothing.
Exactly. So what's the reason why you have?
Cover, not the chesed.
Okay. Why do we repeat yilbash? Zok the Tanikama, Zok the Yehuda Lahavi Mitznafes V'Avik LaRama. That when you're doing the Trumas Hadeshen, don't only do two begadim. You have to wear all four begadim. That yilbash tells you that there's another levisha which is undisclosed, which is in parentheses, and that's Mitznafes V'Avik LaRama. Obviously, that's not like Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish says you only need two begadim. The Rabdoi Simon, now Rabdoi is now quoting from Brother Shai that we heard about 10 minutes ago. The rabbi is big the koyin God will be a makipurim shekshedim the koyin hajid. The Yilbash comes to tell you what happens if the koyin Godel this past Yom Kippur used big day lovan and he's finished with those big day lovan and the koyin Godel cannot reuse them a second time because the pasuk says the nicham sham put it down. We other than Reb Doisa, in other words, the Chazal typically learn that nobody uses them. They go into Geniza. They only use one time forever and ever. But Reb Doisa says, no. Since they are Big Day Lovin, and these Big Day Lovin are just like the four begadim that a Kohen Hedget wears throughout the year. So even though the Kohen Gadol won't use it a second time, but the Kohen Hedget can use it. Reb Doisa, I'm the rabbi, speak the Kohen Gadol, be Yemekipurim, Shekshem the Kohen Hedget. And that's what the Yilbash comes to tell you. It doesn't have to be Miyuchad for Big Day Lovin for Kohen Hedget. You can even use the former Kohen Gadol's Big Day Lovin, not the former Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol's former Big Day Lovin that he wore on Yom Kippur. Okay, very good. So why does Reb Doisa disagree with the previous Limud? Because he doesn't hold of what we said that you have to wear Dafka for. He could hold you only wear two. Like it's how does the Tanakhama know the other two from the Yilbash? Reb Doisa dashim the Yilbash differently. So the same thing will apply not only to Megadim, but also to whether it has to be a Kohen who's with all his.
But those are not really meaning to Reish Lakish. He simply is using that Yilbash for another Drusha. He's not necessarily saying that the Trumas Hadeshen is.
You're right, but that's what he more thought of. Let us say that the Machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, whether you have to have only two Megadim or four Megadim, let us say that that's a Machlokes of Tanoim, because we see Rabbi Yehuda has the Yilbash to tell you it's only the two.
Just like Rabbi Yochanan.
Just like Rabbi Yochanan. Well, Rabbi Doisa, since he uses the Yilbash for somebody else,
maybe not.
That's the Neyma. Okay. Maybe perhaps we have a Machlokes. So Rabbi now disagrees with Rabbi Doisa. And he says, Rabbi Doisa, you can use the same begadim that the Kohen Gadol wore in Yom Kippur. You can use it now throughout the year by Kohen Hedget. Shtei tshuvas v'daber. We have two kashas on this. We had this already before. Chod ad avneidus Kohen Gadol izel avneidus Kohen Hedget. Remember that there's a major difference as far as the avneid is concerned. The avneid of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur was Avnet bad yachkor umitznef is bad yitznoif. On Yom Kippur, everything had to be bad, had to be but, had to be white linen, because that's misamel, that symbolizes that all of the chatoim, kishel, gil, yalbino, that they're all going to be cleansed by Kodesh Baruch Hu, like white snow. So he had to wear a white linen avnet. However, what about the avnet that was worn by the Kohen Hedjit throughout the year? So there's a machloik, as you'll recall. And Rebbe holds that the Kohen Hedjit's avnet throughout the year was made out of shatnez, which, by the way, was the same as the Kohen Gadol's avnet throughout the year. So therefore, you cannot expect that the Kohen Hedjit should go and use, based on Yilbash, he's going to use the Kohen Gadol's for Big Day Lovin from Yom Kippur.
Because best three. At best
three. The oit and the chakash. You got Mishishtam Shebehen, Kedusha Chamurit, Shtam Shebehen, Kedusha Kala. These Big Day Lovin we used to go Lefnai V'Lefnim to go and be the Chafinas Aktoiris, to do the Hazor of the Spar V'Sor Lefnai V'Lefnim. You're going to use the same thing now for Psatrulis Adeshin or some Avoidi Bachutz. Every Kuli Almoiditz, that doesn't rise to the same level as the Kedusha Lefnim. Elamat Amalim Yilbash, you can ask me what Yilbash means. I have a noobshot. Rabbis Esash Chokin, that you can go and take even Shvacher Begodim. Like the Gemara said before, it doesn't have to be brand new. Even Begodim that have been slightly worn out, as long as they're still kosher, use those, like the Gemara said, so because you don't want the chef to come out with the same apron when he's acting as a waiter. Now it says Vinicham Sham, Malamish Tun and Gnisa, and you have to go and put them away permanently. No, you don't have to put away permanently. The Kohen Hedjit can use them during the year. Obviously, Rav Doisa disagrees, and Rav Doisa holds that the Avnet Shel Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur is the same as the Avnet throughout the year of the Kohen Hedjit, meaning both are made out of bat. That was the machlokes we had earlier on in the Sechta. Umatam le'maishe v'diichem sham, shaloi yishamish behen Yom Kippur ma'achet. The Kohen Gadol shouldn't use them a second time. So that everybody agrees that the Kohen Gadol cannot use them another Yom Kippur. Only machlokes is whether a Kohen Hedjit can use them throughout the year. And that's why you have to have all four begadim, and that's why you have to have a regular koi. And the marasav alav avoidehi, it's not a full fledged avoidehi. You only have to have two of the four, and you can have a koi koi as a balmum, etc. So to my life, to kuli alav avoidehi, everybody agrees that it's a fight. One man Yom says, I need that the Pasik have a special Yilbash to go and tell you all four. I can use my own common sense that by the fact that the Torah enumerated two of the four, it meant to go and tell you all of the four begotten, and don't forget that you put in the Ksainas on, put in the Ksainas, etc., etc. And if you didn't need a special Yilbash. So what is the Yilbash going to go and tell you? It's going to tell you the other din of the Rabbi's Kohen Gadol be a Mikipur. So exactly like you were saying, Gary, we thought that there is a Machloikis, Rabbi Yochanan or Ish Lakish, the same Machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Doisa. And you are saying, no, you have no right. It could be Rabbi Yehuda and Doisa. Both agree to Rabbi Yochanan, you have to have the four begotten. The only Machloikis is Yilbash superfluous or not? The Tanakh Kama says, I need the Yilbash to tell you the other two. The place says, come on, everybody knows the other two. That's a double push. Rather, I'm going to learn from that the din of the Kohen Gadol begotten that they can be used throughout the year by the Kohen.
So Rabbi Yochanan has Rabbi Yehuda support him. Rabbi Reish Lakish has no one support him. Why is it a tif that Rabbi Reish Lakish?
Reish Lakish holds that is my support. I hold it like that on the Yomim. The more you're just saying is, do
I have it? It's not conclusive.
It's not conclusive.
But it's enough wiggle room there that Reish Lakish can is not underslugged.
Exactly.